The stretch for just a moment. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Kings, chapter number 18. 2 Kings, chapter 18. I realize that you usually get out about 8:30, and I promise you we'll be done in about 20 minutes. I'll tell you what Elizabeth Taylor told all 8 of her husbands. I won't keep you long, okay? So I know we've had a lot of singing here today, but I believe it's the preaching of the Word of God that will not return void. 2 Kings chapter 18, beginning verse number 1, the Word of God says this. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For in those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan, which means, interestingly enough, just a piece of brass. He trusted the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, and kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. He rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. Let's pray tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of being back here at Heritage in Great Falls once again. And Lord, I pray that tonight we can hear from you. I pray that what is shared here tonight can make a difference in people's lives. I pray maybe for having been here tonight, we will be a little bit closer to being the Christian that you saved us to be. Lord, I pray that you will help me to say that which I ought and avert that which I should not say. I pray, Lord, that you'll give me clarity of thought and tongue. And Lord, I pray that you will be with us. We know, Lord, you're here tonight because where two or three are gathered together, you're there in the midst. And Lord, I pray you'll bless these folks for coming out this warm summer evening. I pray they'll be blessed, and I pray they'll be challenged. I pray they'll be edified and encouraged. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Would you like to be used by God? Would you like to be used by God? I grew up playing sports. You probably can't tell this from your vantage point, but I've always been a little bigger than most people. When I was born, I weighed 11 pounds and 6 ounces. And I was my mother's first child. No wonder she had 6 more, because it was easy after that. I can promise you that. But I started playing organized sports in 4th grade. I played football in the fall, basketball in the winter, baseball in the spring. I loved water skiing, ping pong, motorcycles. I liked it all. But I know this. I never enjoyed being on the bench. If I was going to be in a game, I wanted to be in the game. And can I tell you tonight, friends, that God did not save us to sit.
Amen.
He saved us to serve. What are we doing to further the cause of Christ? I don't know what Pastor was talking about yesterday, about cleaning up and straightening all things like that, but my dad pastored the same church for 50 years. Now my brother's been there for 20 years, and I know this, it takes work.
Amen.
The Bible says work for the night is coming. Night cometh when no man can work. But I think we're going to see in this brief passage some things that we should do if we want God to use us. And I truly want God to use me. We see here, first of all, that Hezekiah, this young king, who, by the way, I'm just going to add this, he didn't grow up in a Christian home. He didn't go to Bible college. If you want to read about it, go back 2 chapters and read about his father, who was idolatrous, who offered his own sons for sacrifice. Incomprehensible. That was his father. But he chose to do the right thing. So if you want God to use you, you must choose to obey. Choose to obey. The Bible says here, in verse number 3, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Most of us here tonight know the things that God wants us to do. It's not a great mystery. God wants us to tell the truth. God wants us to obey those in authority. God wants husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. God wants wives to submit. God wants children to obey. God wants us to forgive one another. you just, God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. It's the simple things that we know to do if we were to do them. I believe God will bless that. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find a theme that's throughout the book. It's, there is a blessing for obedience and a curse or a loss for disobedience. Let me say that again. There is a blessing for obedience and a curse or a loss for disobedience. We choose. We choose. What does God command us to do? He says, well, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God tells us to go ye therefore and preach the gospel. We know what God wants us to do. Will we, first of all, choose to obey? I like the song, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. If we're going to be used by God, we must, first of all, obey Him. Can we say, as Samuel said under the tutelage of Eli, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth? Are we waiting to hear what He wants us to do? Are we willing to go where He wants us to go? I had a lady talk to me tonight about her son, and I immediately thought, I don't know him well, but I said, I could write him. I asked her his address. She gave it to me. Now, will I do what I know I should do? I said I would write him. Who is it that God wants you to visit this week? Some of you ladies have been a blessing in helping with Mrs. Shearer. That reminds me of what it says about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He went about doing good. He went about doing good. Not an easy task. What is it God wants you to do? I wonder, is there someone in a rest home that would be so encouraged by your visit? We stopped by the post office on the way out of town, and I wrote a man that I led to Christ who had surgery today. I wrote another man today who's having open heart surgery the next 2 weeks. I wrote two girls that filled out applications in Spokane on Sunday night. Are we doing what we know we should do? First of all, we need to choose to obey. Secondly, we see this, that if we're going to be used by God, we must choose to separate from sin. I'm not going to belabor you with a list of sins tonight. We know what is right and we know what is wrong. Will we separate from sin? Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. We are in the world, but not of the world. I do not understand, preacher. I recently met a pastor's wife who had tattoos and had her nose pierced. Graduate of Liberty University. I'm going, do they really think that's coming out to the world? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. By the way, some people got saved after they made decisions like that. Some people made decisions like that, they didn't know about that. Right? I understand that. I talked to a man today, driving the truck with Brother Chad. He was asking him to come to West Coast Baptist Church. He said, my wife and I both have tattoos, former Marines. I said, absolutely. I said, now you can't get them while you're here. But I think we understand we're supposed to be different. I think we ought to look different from the world. I think our jokes ought to be different from the world. I think our music ought to be different from the world. God tells us that. So we see here that He was willing to separate from sin. It says here that He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves. What was He doing? Thou shalt not have any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. Is that what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20? Absolutely. God's against it. He said, I'm not going to do it. You say, but His daddy did it. He said, I'm not going to do it. Amen. Most of the people in the country do it. He said, I'm not going to do it. He chose to separate from sin. God is looking for a holy and a separated vessel. A clean vessel. I don't mind drinking out of an old glass, but I want it to be a clean glass. It's really interesting. We have one bowl at our house that's probably more expensive than any glass in our normal cupboard. It's stainless steel. And I never drink out of it. It's the dog's dish. Somebody's helping me with it. I said, what on earth would you pay that much money for a dog bowl? But I'm not drinking out of that because it's dirty. And maybe you've had a lot of training and a lot of experience and a lot of money's been invested in you, but God's not going to use us if we're dirty. It says here about Hezekiah that he removed the high places and break the images that cut down the groves. Could I ask you tonight, friend, what do you need to remove from your life? What do you need to remove from your home? Parents, maybe it's some DVDs you know would not be good for your children to watch. Be ye holy as I am holy. Touch not the unclean thing. He chose to separate from sin. I wonder, have we made that decision? My dad did not grow up in a Christian home. He thinks in his entire life before he was 22 years of age, he went to church twice. My grandfather was agnostic, very successful man. He immigrated from Denmark, went to kindergarten at the age of 16, and learned how to speak English, ended up starting a machine shop, ran that shop 20 hours a day, 6 days a week. Retired a millionaire in his 50s, coming to America with nothing. Hard worker, smart man. But my dad had issues. When my dad turned 60 years old, his dad bought him a brand new car. I can promise you that didn't happen in my life. He had it made. He had issues with his language, though. He had issues with his drinking and his morality. And he kept trying to turn over a new leaf. It just didn't work. Because he didn't have the new man inside of him. He said, I don't want to swear like that anymore. I don't want to do these things anymore. It just didn't work. But one day, somebody gave him a gospel track.
Amen.
And through that track, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. My dad told me, he said, I never drank again. I never smoked again. He swore one time. And when he did, someone cut him off. He swore at him. And it so grieved, he pulled to the side of the road and wept and asked God to forgive him. Old things were passed away and all things were become new. There was a change. Hear the song, there's been a great, great, great change since I've been born again. There should be a change. So we see, first of all, he chose to obey. Secondly, he chose to separate from sin. You're listening so well, and I thank you for that. Thirdly, by the way, let me add this. We separate from sin. We know the things that are wrong. You know that sometimes God tells us to separate from things that were initially good? It says in the same verse that he broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Wait a minute. Who told Moses to make the brazen serpent? Anyone tell me? God did. But something that was good took the wrong place in their life. There's nothing wrong with exercising. Stephen and I try to exercise pretty faithfully. I do an elliptical. He does karate and push-ups and all kinds of stuff. We'll exercise most days. But if your exercise is going on during church, it's taking the wrong place in your life. I don't think it's wrong to watch a football game if you turn off the ungodly commercials. But if you're watching it during church, I think it's taking the wrong place in your life. I'll never forget, I was door knocking at Lancaster. I came to the door, and a man knocked at the door, and the man opened the door, and I said, invite him to church. He says, well, I said, I don't go to church. I said, why don't you come? He said, I can't. I said, why? He said, NASCAR. He was on 100% disability, and he said he would travel to 35 to 40 tracks a year. Can I say this? He has a God. But it's not the true God. It's NASCAR. I was just a little boy, maybe 7 or 8 years of age, many years ago in Los Angeles. I was door knocking with my dad. My dad went to visit a follow-up man. He said, I haven't seen this guy in a month or two. And he went to the guy's house. He says, I haven't seen you. He says, well, Pastor, you won't see me until January. My dad said, why? He says, football season. That's back when the Los Angeles Rams were there before they left to win several other places. We walked down the sidewalk before we got to the main sidewalk. My dad stopped. He said, son, that man has a God, and that God is the Los Angeles Rams. He said, son, that's the wrong God to have in our life.
Amen.
Some people, their God is work. They work when they should be in church. Some people, their God is golf. Some people, it's hunting. Some people, it's fishing. Some people, it's... The man lived across the street from me. His name was Dave. We invited him to church many, many times, and Dave had an incredibly beautiful car in his garage. I believe it was a 1937 Ford Coupe. It was candy apple red, chromed out. Preacher, he had mirrors on rollers he could roll under the car to see what the bottom of the car looked like. Shelf after shelf after shelf after shelf after shelf of trophies in his garage. I guess his wife would let him bring it to the house. He rarely drove the car, usually would put it on a trailer to take it to the next car show. The license plate of that car was this: my, and then abbreviated, addiction. My addiction. I wonder what your addiction is. I wonder what your addiction is. Paul said he was addicted to the ministry.
Amen.
Addicted to the ministry. So we choose to separate from sin. It could be something that's sinful or something that's good that took the wrong place in our life. Thirdly, we see this. He chose to trust. The Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ that His arm fails not. Are you trusting in the Lord? Are you trusting in Him? Are you counting on Him? I find a lot of people are counting on the government. I'd rather trust in the Lord. I'm thankful we live in America. These young people were singing the national anthem last night about 11 o'clock. Last thing we did after having a healthy little dessert called s'mores. And sang the national anthem out there by the fire pit. It was awesome. I thank the Lord today that I live in America. But can I say this? My trust is in the Lord. I'm glad to have my wife with me here tonight. We've been married for 36 years. She's my best friend. She's the biggest helper in my life. She does so much for me. But you know what? She can't always be there. But God says He will never leave you or forsake you. So we need to trust in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. The Bible says, so that after Him there was none like Him or any that were before Him. Is your trust in the Lord? Or are we trusting in our job, our pension, our insurance? Are we trusting in the Lord? Only trust Him. Only trust Him. And finally tonight, the Bible says this. If you look down here, it says He clave to the Lord. He clave to the Lord. Sir, if you come up here for just a minute. I won't embarrass you too much. Right now, what's your first name?
Rick.
Brother Rick is right here, and I'm pretty close to Brother Rick. This might be like a lot of folks who are in church on Sunday morning. They're close to the Lord. I can even reach out and touch him. But it says about Hezekiah that he clave to the Lord.
Amen.
Literally, he held on. Held on. By the way, if I got tired, I could lean on Rick right now. He's close enough for me to do that. Can I ask you, my friend, are you clinging to the Lord? I was reading my Bible this afternoon and thinking about tonight and praying about that and thinking about this message. And I'm afraid that oftentimes that God is prominent in our life. He's important. We go to church usually 6 days a week. We usually have one day off like we had yesterday. We have a church service tonight, the next night, and Friday night, Saturday, two churches on Sunday. But did you know that God does not ask to be prominent in your life? In Colossians 1, it says that in all things, He might have the preeminence. Absolute first place. Absolute first place. Sometimes I will travel and come back, and my wife always greets me every time I come to the house with a kiss. It would be a pretty horrible thing if I walked to the door of our house at 43931 40th Street East. And Susan said, Mark, I want you to know, you're one of my five favorite men in the church. That wouldn't be good. I would say, Houston, we have a problem. Can I say this? I wonder how many times God might say, well, I'm one of their five favorite things. Or one of their 10 favorite things. He clave to the Lord. He clave to the Lord. The end result of this is very simple. It says in verse number 5, there was none like him, nor any that were before him. In verse number 7, I love this. It says, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered. The Lord was with him, and he prospered. Would you like the Lord to be with you? Would you like the Lord to prosper you? Can I say this, friend? You can't outgive God. But He wants us to lay our all on the altar of sacrifice. Is your all of the altar of sacrifice laid? Does your all of the Spirit control? Will we really go wherever He wants us to go? Will we really do whatever He wants us to do? The question is, do you really want to be used by God? If so, my friend, let me challenge you to obey Him. Let me challenge you to separate from sin. Let me challenge you to make sure we don't put something that was good in the wrong place in our life. Let me challenge you to choose to trust in Him. His arm fails not. And finally tonight, let me challenge you to cleave to Him, to hold on to Him. I must tell this one illustration. My friend, Chad, took me up the top of a mountain yesterday on the back of a four-wheeler. Can I tell you this? I cleave to Him. And I also sang, "Nearer My God to Thee," at the same time. I said, "Don't anyone take a picture of this." And I just put my arms around it and held on for dear life. You know what? I think in the world in which we live today, that's full of danger, full of things that would destroy us, we better put our arms around the Lord and cling to Him. Let's pray tonight.